They stopped for candy over here. Well, Baker, I know how to get kids' attention now. Give them candy. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I am so glad to see all of you. We have several visitors today, and man, I'm glad to see y'all. That's exciting to have such good visitors with us today. We've got some that have visited, and now they've expanded because they bought more. And so that's a good thing, too. The more, the merrier. The more, the merrier. I'm glad to see it. Had a great week last week. We're going to have a hard time catching up to that. We had 5 baptisms last week. That was absolutely wonderful. That was excellent. And so we're just going to continue working. We're going to continue going that direction. We're going to continue to try to do God's will in everything. I want y'all to know that last week, since we had so many baptisms and everything, I had several calls about the possibility of people saying, do I need to be rebaptized? Do I need to do this? Do I need... And so, what I have done, or what I'm going to do, is that in 2 weeks, not this next week, because I'm just going to be sitting out here, but in 2 weeks, I'm going to do a sermon on whether or not you need to be rebaptized. Okay? I'm going to give reasons why you should, reasons why you should not, okay? And we'll go with that. And so I want you to know that there's absolutely nothing in this world wrong with being baptized again. Not one thing in this world. Matter of fact, it is scriptural. It was done in Scripture, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But there needs to be a reason behind it. And so we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about when it's not necessary to be rebaptized. Folks, just because you sin doesn't need to mean that you need to be baptized again. Because if that was the case, I'd never get out of the water. Yeah, I'd never get out. Yeah, there was a lot of amens on that one. Yeah, I'd never get out of the water. I'd be there out of the water every day, you know. So realize that that's not really a reason to be baptized again, but there are reasons out there that you should be. And so I don't want to get into that too much today, but I just want you to know that in 2 weeks, I will have a lesson prepared for that purpose, okay? And that'll help everybody along the way, all right? Now, also, Dick, in order to raise up our contributions, folks, all you need to do is just drop your money on the ground, and Randy will pick it up and put it in the plate. So any money that you have, just drop it on the floor. That'll be all right. Randy will pick it up and put it in, and we'll be good to go. Yeah, we'll be good to go. I want to talk about today the compassion of God. And the reason why I want to talk about that is primarily because I know that we don't think about that very often. I don't think about it as much as I should. Have you ever just really sat down and realized how much you have been forgiven? Have you ever done that? You know, I was joking when I said if I had to be baptized every time I sinned, I'd never get out of the water. Well, folks, there's truth in that statement. And the truth is that we are forgiven of our sins continually. We fall short daily. And even though, you know, I always thought that once I got older that I wouldn't sin as much, I don't think that's the case. I think the sins and temptations have changed. I'm not tempted in the same way that I was tempted back when I was 20. I'm still just as good looking as I was back when I was 20. But my temptations are different. And therefore my sins are different. And like I've told y'all before, that there are two types of sins. There's the sin of commission, and there's the sin of omission. And the sin of commission is doing what you know to be wrong. That's the sin of commission. The sin of omission is not doing what you know to be right. And I want you to know, as I get older, the sin of commission comes more often than the sin of omission comes more often than the sin of commission. I don't do as much of things that I know to be wrong, but there are a lot of times that I just don't do what I should be doing to be right, that God would have me to do. I don't preach as often as I should. And my mind is going back at this point to the time that I heard this from Roy Donovan, and I really think it's true, that every person out there that you see every day is a soul that needs to find salvation. Every person. And I know, me personally, I don't treat it that way every time. I don't think about it every time. But God does. Jesus Christ did. Where every soul needs to know the plan of salvation. Not one person in this world doesn't need to know that. Not one person. And so, folks, when Jesus told his disciples in Mark 16, to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that didn't mean just some. That meant everybody. Because everybody is that soul. And everybody needs to hear it. And folks, where I fall short is I don't preach it to everybody. I should. I don't. And therefore, I am really making a conscious effort to do more of that. And you can do that by your actions. Far greater than you can do by standing on a corner and shouting at the people that drive by. It's what you do that stands out. It's how you treat others that stands out. And that relationship that you build with other people is what brings people to Christ. I want you to know that. Be Johnny Appleseed and go out and plant that seed so that everybody will benefit from the fruit that comes from the tree of life. Everybody can eat freely of that tree. Now I want to start out in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. It says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together with Jesus Christ. By grace, we have been saved. And there's no better verse in the Bible, in my opinion, there's no better verse in the Bible than this verse that I'm going to show you right now, and every one of you know it. It is John 3:16. It shows the abundant grace that God has for you. It shows the abundant grace that God has for every person in this world. It says this. Read it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I gave you the King James Version. That's the New American up there. God so loved the world. Folks, God loved you. God loved you. And that's why He sent His Son. That's the mercy of God. That's the love of God that He has for each one of us. He loves us so much. And that verse right there, so many people quote that verse and they don't really even understand it. That verse is the verse that tells us that God made a way for us to get to heaven. God made a way. And that way was through the sacrifice of His Son. As often as we do drink this cup and eat of this loaf, we do so in remembrance of this. God loves us so much. I can't tell you how much, because I can't comprehend it. The only thing I can tell you is this. I understand how much God loves me, but I fall short. I don't really truly know how much He loves me. But there will be a day in which I will know that. And that day is when we stand before God in judgment. When we see God and Jesus Christ for the first time, Jesus on His throne, God in His judgment seat, we see that for the first time. And then we shall realize just exactly how much God loved us. We won't truly know it until then. But when that happens, you're going to know it. You will know it then. Because that love will be so amazing that we will fall to our knees. We will not be able to look up to God, because every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. God so loved us. Now, let's talk about this. It is not God's will that anyone should perish. That's why I tell you that every person out there in the world today is a soul that needs to hear the Word of God. Every person out there today is a soul that needs to know the plan of salvation. Every one of them. Why? Because it's not God's will that any of us should perish. It is God's will that all of us should go to heaven. I'm sure you've heard this statement, that God loves us so much He couldn't send anybody to hell. Y'all heard that before? Well, I want you to know that even though that's misused in that terminology that they say that, that is not wrong. God won't send anybody to hell. It's your choice. It has always been your choice. It is not God's choice for anyone to go to hell. Rather, it's God's choice that all of us go to heaven. God wants you in heaven. God wants you with Him. God wants us to be there forever. But realize that it has always been, since the time of Adam and Eve in the garden, it has always been our choice. Remember, there were two trees in the Garden of Eden? The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And all God said was, don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Every other tree you can eat all you want. Just don't eat of that one. Now you think, one rule, I can do it. But I want you to know, if you've got a 3 or 4 year old child, and you tell that child, says, do not stick the fork in the light socket. What is the child going to do? As soon as the child gets a fork and sees you not looking, they're going to stick it in the light socket. Adam and Eve were the same way. Just want you to know that. They were told not to do something, and all of a sudden, yeah, well, God may not be looking, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Temptation is strong. Temptation is strong. But realize it is not God's will for any to perish. But also understand this. All of us have sinned. There's only one person that walked the face of this earth that did not sin, and I'm not him. Nobody in this room is him. One person that walked the face of the earth that did not sin. All the rest of us have sinned. In one way or another, all the rest of us have sinned. We talked about Abraham this morning, and about Abraham when he went into Egypt, and the king of Egypt saw Sarah, and at 65, Sarah was a beautiful woman. And so the Pharaoh wanted Sarah to become part of his harem. And so I asked Abraham about him, and Abraham said, she's my sister. Now I want you to know that that's a half-truth. Because she was his sister, but she was also his wife. She was his half-sister. They had the same father. But understand, with that in mind, the fact that they were related was not the lie. The lie was, he only told a half-truth. And he did it with the intent to deceive. If you say something with the intent to deceive, guess what? You lie. Well, if you intend to deceive, then you fall into this category that you sinned. You fall short. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. So therefore, in that with that in your mind, again, you go back to this statement. How many times have you been forgiven? How many times? More than you can count. And I can tell you this, it's more than 7 times 70. I knocked that out in the first 3 or 4 months. Okay? It's more than 7 times 70. Realize that all of us have sinned. And because we all have sinned, we are guilty. And therefore, we deserve punishment. I do not deserve salvation. You realize that? You don't either. What you deserve is punishment. You deserve to be put to death. The wages of sin is death, and that's physical, spiritual, and eternal. You deserve punishment. You don't deserve salvation. You don't deserve forgiveness. You don't deserve mercy. Lately, right out here in front of the church building, the highway there is under construction. Did y'all know that? It's not 65 miles an hour anymore through there. Did y'all know that? I did not, until my wife told me about it, and then I realized that, yeah, there's a sign right there that said 55. Well, evidently, there's a lot of people that don't know it, because every time you drive through there, there's blue and red lights flashing with a lot of people pulled over because they didn't know that. And I told somebody yesterday, I said, you know, it's only against the law if you get caught. You heard that one before? Yeah. Well, they're catching a lot of people. Well, you know what? Speed limit's 55. If you drive 65, you deserve a ticket. You deserve to pay the fine. But mercy and forgiveness is the police officer saying, just slow down, keep going. Also realize that same mercy and forgiveness was given to the woman that was caught in adultery. Because Jesus caught flack over that. Because they brought her to him to stone her to death. And as he rode on the ground, and he said to them, the one who is without sin, cast the first stone. And from the oldest to the youngest, they started dropping their stones and they started leaving. And then Jesus looked up and nobody was there except him and her. And he said to her, said, where are you, your accusers? And she says, I do not know, Lord. And he responded and says, I accuse you neither, or I don't accuse you either. Go and do what? Sin no more. Sin no more. That's mercy. That's grace. That's forgiveness. The wages of sin is death. And those of us who have fallen into sin, which is every one of us in this room, folks, we deserve punishment. So, realize that God is in a dilemma, or he was, in that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but everybody has sinned, and therefore everybody deserves punishment. But the response is this. In Ephesians 2:4, tells us that God is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. He wants us to be with him. So therefore, he made the way. And the way is John 3:16, loving us so much that he sent his son to pay our debt for sin so that we could be with him in eternity. That's the way. God is rich in mercy. He loved us. He is great in his love for us. I can't imagine, honestly, how much love he has for us. Because by this time in my life, if it was me, I'd be saying, I'm done with you, you go somewhere else. But that's not the case. God forgives. And if you repent, God will forgive you. And he will join you back with him. That's why all people everywhere are called to repent. God has made us alive together with Jesus Christ. Remember, in our baptism, that old man that is full of sin and death has been buried in the likeness of Jesus Christ and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Therefore, we walk in the newness of life. We are a new creature, not under the bondage of sin and death, because that bondage has been buried. And we are raised up out of that. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, He took our sins to the grave and left them there. And that's why the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Because that separation between us and God has been destroyed. Jesus took our sins to the grave. We are raised in the likeness of His resurrection. And therefore, we now walk in the newness of life. Newness of life. We're not the same we were. We're different. Ephesians 2:8 tells us this, that by grace, by the grace of God, we have been saved. It is not of ourselves. Because of ourselves, we deserve punishment. It is the grace of God that brings us out of that punishment. It is the grace of God that gives us forgiveness. It is the grace of God that has made a place for us in eternity with Him. The grace of God. We can't earn our way to heaven. If we could, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. But one of the things that the old law taught us was the fact that all sin, and therefore we have to have a Redeemer. Well, Jesus is indeed that great Redeemer. It is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:9 through 10 tells us that it is not of the works that we have done, that we may boast about our works. But we are created for good works for Jesus Christ, for the works of God that were prepared before us. It is not us, but it is God. Now I want you to know that people have used these verses in Ephesians wrongly. They've used them wrongly in saying, oh no, it's not works, you're just saved by grace. You don't have to do anything, you're just saved by grace. Wrong. That's incredibly wrong. Because remember, grace is a gift. And you must accept the gift. I told y'all the story about somebody giving you a brand new coat for Christmas. And you set it on the bed and say, man, that's a great looking coat. But if you don't ever pick it up and put it on, it doesn't do you any good, does it? We can talk about Jesus' sacrifice all day long. We can talk about it continually. But folks, if you don't follow the plan of salvation, the plan that God has set before you, then it's just like that coat that's laying on your bed that you never picked up and put on. And all you're going to do is you're going to stand out there and freeze to death because you didn't put on the coat. And you go outside and it's snowing and it's sleeting and you say, boy, I wish I had a coat. Folks, we go outside now and we commit sin. Boy, I wish I had a Redeemer. Boy, I wish I was forgiven. Well, you are. And we do have. Realize this verse, these verses, are not an excuse for not doing what God wants you to do. That's not it at all, folks. But what it tells us is this, that you cannot earn your way into heaven. That is through the grace and mercy of God. That's where that comes from. Now notice this last verse that I have up there in Romans 6:23. Our salvation, our forgiveness, our hope in eternity is a gift of God. And that gift of God is eternal. And that gift of God is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Last week, I spoke about our Lord's Supper. And in speaking about our Lord's Supper, I told you that that's a time in which we come together to remember that great sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. And we should always do that. But also there was a second part that I brought up that probably most people had not thought of. And that second part is the great celebration. When we partake of that Lord's Supper, yes, remember what Jesus did for us. But also celebrate what He did for us. Because without that gift that God sent His Son, we would have no opportunity to go to heaven. We would be lost in our sins, and there would be no reason for us to even come together. Because we would have no hope of salvation. But because of that great gift that He has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, we can celebrate the fact that we know here today, we know together, that God has made a way for us to go to heaven. And that way is through Jesus Christ. And therefore, we must all follow the plan that has been set before us. And that plan is to repent and be baptized, every one of us, for the remission of sin. And then we shall receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. It is all part of the plan that God has set before us. It is our choice. Do not let your choice to interfere with what you should do is right. And that is follow the will of God. Accept the gift that has been given to you so that you may have a place with God in eternity. You may have a place in heaven. Folks, we have been richly blessed in this congregation. We have been richly blessed with our contributions, as Dick was talking about this morning. We have done so well here in this congregation. We have grown in number. We've grown in spirit. We've grown in knowledge. We've grown in wisdom. And we've increased the kingdom of heaven. All these things have happened in this congregation. Folks, the reason why is because we strive to do what God wants us to do. So today, here it is. If you have not been baptized, you need to do so. But for those of us who have been baptized, we need to go out in the world and preach that gospel to every creature so that they may know of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, so that they may know the love that God gave for us, so that they may know the plan of salvation, and ultimately, so that they may have a place with God in heaven. This is what we are tasked to do. So today, when you leave this building, go out and teach, preach, invite, bring them in, and let's make them part of this family. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers, We ask you to come. All together we stand and sing.